We did a whole lesson on this 2 weeks ago, two common misconceptions about the water baptism of Jesus. And we said that, number one, Christ was not baptized according to a New Testament ordinance, okay? And number two, Christ was not baptized as an example for us to follow. And we proved that scripturally, those are utter impossibilities when you believe the Bible, okay? Now, there were definite reasons why Christ was baptized by John in water in the Jordan River. There are some definite reasons. Last Wednesday night we came back, we saw four of them. And we learned four reasons why Christ was baptized in water. And if you missed those, you need to go on the web and you need to listen to those. They're very, very important, those first two lessons. Now, get this statement in your handout. It says there were definite reasons why Christ was baptized by John, and they all had to do with Christ's earthly ministry and relationship to Israel. Christ was a Jew. He was of Israel. And he came to minister to the circumcision, the Bible says, to Israel. That was his earthly ministry. He said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was his purpose and his mission. You remember last week, and I know all of you, if I asked anybody in this room that was here last week, name the four reasons why he was baptized, you could stand right up and tell me, couldn't you, tonight? And that was, I'm going to say them real fast. You ready? Number one, it was a submission to Israel's law to fulfill all righteousness. Number two, it was an identification with the believing remnant of Israel. Number three, it was a manifestation to Israel that he was the Christ. Number four, it was an ordination into Christ's earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. We looked at all that in depth, so we're not going to spend a lot of time reviewing it. I don't have time. So the question is this. We said, really, just like Christ was circumcised the eighth day according to the law of Moses, but Paul said to the church, in Christ, circumcision doesn't avail anything. We can appreciate and look at why Christ was circumcised the eighth day. We can appreciate it, we can see it, we can recognize it, but realize it's not incumbent on us to follow that example and that we have to be circumcised the eighth day or circumcise our kids the eighth day. Now, same thing with his water baptism. While it's not directly related to a Gentile living in the church age, it had to do with the nation of Israel and his ministry to them. We can look at it and we can appreciate it for what it is. Now, what about us today? The question is, what about Gentiles living in the dispensation of grace today? Does Christ's baptism have any effect or any impact on us? Well, Christ experienced a second baptism that does impact us greatly. Now, last week I left you hanging on that, and I said that Christ experienced a second baptism, and I said, study this week, see if you can figure out what it is. Anybody figure it out? All right, some of you said you did. Let's go to Luke chapter number 12, and I want to show you here, Christ refers here to another baptism that he would have done to him. Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 50. Luke 12, verse 50. Christ said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Well, wait a minute. Christ had already been baptized in water. That happened about 3 years earlier. So clearly, when Christ makes the statement, "I have a baptism to be baptized with," this is clearly a reference to a future baptism. What was it? Go back to Mark chapter number 10, the book there before Luke. Mark chapter 10. What was this other baptism? Mark chapter number 10. James and John, their mother, comes and wants them to each have a position in Christ's kingdom. One on the right hand and one on the left. And typical mom, amen. And verse 38, "But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the what? The cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized." clearly when he talks about the cup, now we know what he's talking about, don't we? When we cross-reference that with the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that he was talking about the baptism of suffering and death. And so Christ, in your handout, it says Christ was baptized in water at the beginning of his earthly ministry, but was baptized into death at the end of his earthly ministry. He was baptized in water at the beginning, baptized into death at the end of his earthly ministry. Every single believer in the body of Christ today is identified in Christ's second baptism into death. We too are baptized into death. In fact, we are baptized into Christ's death. Go to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to kind of hang out here in Romans for a little bit. Romans 6, and this goes right along with my Sunday morning message entitled, Where is Your Heart? And we talked about how Christ delivered us from our past identity and how that He gave us a new position. And we talked about, do you remember, how did Christ deliver us from this present evil world? He did it, remember, through death. He did it through death. We died. We are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, and this will be a good follow-up to Sunday morning. Now, let's read Romans 6, verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are," and what's the next phrase? "Dead to sin, live any longer therein?" Well, how did we get in that position to be dead to sin? Look at verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized," who were we baptized into? Jesus Christ. So because I'm baptized into Him, He says we're baptized into His what? Into His death. "Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if," notice the condition, "if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death," okay, that word planted, it carries the idea of united. If we've been united in His death, He says we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. In your handout it says that this passage is very clear. The baptism Paul's speaking about results in a spiritual union and oneness with Jesus Christ. That's clear. We become in union with Him. We become one with Him. We are one in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Hey, what I talk about Sunday morning, there is a complete change of identification that takes place here. In your handout, it says, "No longer does God see me in my sins, but rather in His Son." And that ought to make you shout right there, amen? Man, He doesn't see me in my sins anymore. He sees me in His Son. I've been baptized into Jesus Christ. How many times did Christ die unto sin? Look at verse 10. "For in that He died, He died." Christ died unto sin how many times? Once. Once. Hebrews 9:26 says that Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The sin issue was forever dealt with through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This baptism that Paul's talking about here, it causes God. Now listen, this baptism causes God to see me dead with Christ on the cross. Look again at verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His," say it with me, church, "death." Good. Look at verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him." With Him. With Him. Remember Sunday morning? With Him. Dead with Him. Buried with Him. Risen with Him. We kept seeing in Colossians 3, with Him, with Him. I'm identified in Him. Look at verse 8. It says, "Now if we be dead," there it is again, what? "With Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Look at verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, let me have your attention. God views everything in light of the cross. And God sees you if you're saved. He sees you baptized into the death of Christ, therefore free from sin. Look at Romans 6, 7. For he that is dead, and that's what we are, we're dead with him if we're identified in him. For he that is dead is what? You're freed from sin. So Christ died unto sin. Now, God sees you baptized into the death of Christ, therefore free from sin. Or he views you in your sins and out of Christ. Okay, you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. And if you're in Christ, he sees you crucified with Christ. If you're out of Christ, God sees you in your sins. Y'all follow me? Amen. How do you get in Christ? Well, remember Galatians 2:20, common verse. Paul said, "I am what? I'm crucified with Christ." That's God's view of the Christian. How do we get into that position where God views me crucified with Christ? How do I get into that position? What places me there? Look at Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by what? By baptism into death. So according to the Bible, Romans 6:4, how do I get into that position of being in Christ? How do I get there? By what? By baptism. Now, folks, there's going to be a lot of Baptist brethren going to tell you that Romans 6 is talking about water baptism. If that's speaking about water baptism, we got a real serious problem on our hands. That means that it would be by means of water baptism that a person is placed into spiritual union with Jesus Christ. That you, when one man dips another man in water, that he is placed into Christ. Can that be, yes or no? Of course not. And by the way, you know what this would mean if this is water baptism? This would mean that believers who were never baptized, never water baptized. Believers, by the way, how many of you got saved and then were water baptized the same day? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. How many of you were like me? It was at least 6 months, maybe. Okay, a bunch of you. Then that would mean, listen, it would mean that believers who were never water baptized would not be united with Christ's death and therefore still be in their what? In their sins. And it would mean, if this is water baptism, it would mean that unbelievers who had submitted to water baptism were united with Christ, if that's the means you get into it. So the bottom line is, if Romans 6 is water baptism, it would teach baptismal regeneration. That is salvation by baptism. And unless you think that the city water system is synonymous with Christ, you can clearly recognize that this isn't talking about water baptism. Okay? Does being baptized in water crucify you with Christ? Yes or no?
No.
People say, oh, well, but it's just a picture. That's not what the verse says. That's not what the verse says. It says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, what? Into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. If that's water baptism, then I get identified in his death when I'm baptized in water. And until I get baptized in water, I'm never identified in his death. Which means that you can't be saved till you're water baptized. You see the mess that's created when you fail to rightly divide God's word? Now, the answer to that is the next point in your handout. This baptism that Romans 6 is talking about is performed by God the Holy Spirit. Now, you understand there's a whole lot of different kinds of baptisms in the Bible. We already saw two in the life of Christ. Christ had a water baptism And then he said he had a baptism into death. Now, there's a lot of other baptisms in the Bible. There's a ton of them. In fact, a lot of the baptisms in your Bible are dry baptisms. There's no water involved. For instance, 1 Corinthians, a passage we're going to come into in our study in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:1 says that Israel was baptized unto Moses when they went through the Red Sea. Hey, when Israel went through the Red Sea, did they wade through it? How'd they go through it? On what? That's a dry baptism, my friend. They were baptized, united unto Moses, Bible says, when they passed through the Red Sea on dry land. So my point is, there's a lot of baptisms in the Bible. Now, go to the next book, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Keep your bookmarker in Romans 6. We're going to go back. And go to 1 Corinthians 12. And one of the baptisms that I'm talking about in the Bible here is discovered in 1 Corinthians 12. And this will shed great light on which baptism places us into union with Jesus Christ, as Romans 6, 3, and 4 teaches. Which baptism places me into union with Christ? Well, this is going to make it real clear. This is, I mean, if you believe the Bible, this is the commentary on Romans 6, okay? Look at it. For by one Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into what? One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 12, look up there. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let me give you three quick statements that we learned there. Number one, there is one body of Christ. There's only one body of Christ. Okay? Number two, you get into this body by Holy Spirit baptism. Okay? The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. In your handout, the third thing, this baptism by the Holy Spirit makes us a member of Christ's body. This baptism puts a man into Christ. Look with me at verse number 27. Verse 27. You looking at it? We must be at the bottom of the handout. I hear a lot of pages rustling. All right, I'll turn too. All right. There we go. We all turn. All right. Look at verse 27. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and what are we? Members. We're members in particular." Let me ask you something. We just read verses 12, 13, 14, verse 27, did you see any water in any of that? Yes or no? Not a drop. In fact, if there were water, it would contradict what Paul said in the same letter when he did discuss water baptism. Go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If that baptism was water, we'd have a contradiction. If water baptism puts me into spiritual union with Christ, then we got a big time contradiction in our Bible. Because would you agree with me that if water baptism puts you into spiritual union with Jesus Christ, takes you out of your sins and puts you into His death, burial, and resurrection, if water baptism did that, would you agree with me that would be an essential part of the gospel? Sure it would. I mean, if I've got to be water baptized to be put into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then that's an essential part of the gospel because I can't be saved without it. But look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. He said, "For Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the what?" Did Paul consider water baptism a vital part of the gospel he preached? Yes or no? Obviously not. So we know what we're talking about here. The baptism in 1 Corinthians 12:13 is not a baptism performed by Paul or any other man. Okay? The baptism in 1 Corinthians 12:13 is a spiritual baptism that God the Holy Spirit gives you the moment you get saved, and it places the believing sinner into spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Listen, His death becomes my death. His burial becomes my burial. His resurrection becomes my resurrection. And go to Galatians real quick. The book of Galatians after Corinthians here. Galatians, and I think this is important to look at. Galatians 3. We know that it's a non-physical spiritual baptism that puts us into Christ because of what it produces. Look at Galatians 3, verse 27. We'll go up to verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, here it is again, were baptized where? Where? Into Christ. We've put on Christ. Okay? Now, look at the result of this baptism, which we know now is Holy Spirit baptism. Look at the result. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one. And where are we? We're in Christ Jesus. Now, we know that this is a non-physical spiritual baptism because this passage teaches that this baptism does away with physical, racial, and sexual distinctions. Now, water baptism obviously doesn't do that. Okay? You know, there was a preacher one time, he was talking to another preacher that believed in baptismal regeneration. He believed that you had to be baptized in water in order to be united and be one with Christ. And they were talking about this thing, and the preacher said to him, pointed out, he said, you know, this baptism does away with racial and national and sexual distinctions in Christ. And he looked at that preacher, he said, now, do you have unisex bathrooms at your church? Does your church practice homosexuality? Of course not. So this obviously isn't speaking of a physical baptism because it does away with physical distinctions. It's not a physical baptism of the body because it affects a change in the element that it takes place in. It's God the Holy Spirit taking a person, placing them into union with Jesus Christ, and in that union, as a result of that baptism, all physical distinctions in that union and in that body, all physical distinctions are done away, and we are made one with Christ, and we are complete in Christ. Amen. Number three, this baptism into Christ's death guarantees your resurrection with Christ. This baptism that we have into His death, it guarantees your resurrection with Christ. Go back to Romans 6. I told you, I asked you to keep your bookmarker there. I hope you did. Romans 6. And let me give you a statement in the handout, and then we're going to look at it. The clear teaching of Romans 6 is this. Okay, this is clear. You can't miss it. If you have not been baptized into Christ's death, then you cannot possibly possess His resurrection life. If you're not baptized into His death, you can't have His life. Look with me at verse 3, Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, therefore is there because He's saying, based on your union into His death, therefore, based on that spiritual union into His death, look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of, say it with me, life. We are united in Christ's death and burial. Therefore we now possess newness of what? Life. Notice verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Question, if you haven't been planted into His death, then do you have any hope of a resurrection? Yes or no? Not according to that verse. And by the way, that's what Colossians 2:12 teaches also. Notice verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, notice the conditional word, if you're dead with Christ, if you're crucified with Christ, if you've been baptized into spiritual union with Christ, verse 8, we believe that we shall also, what? Live with Him. So God's Word's clear. If a person has not been united with Christ in His death, that person cannot possess the resurrection life of Christ. If a person does not possess the resurrection life of Christ, then you know what they are? They're lost in their sins. Look at Romans chapter 8. Go over to chapter 8. If you don't have the resurrection life of Christ living inside of you by virtue of this baptism into His death and burial and resurrection, you're lost if you don't have His life. Look at Romans 8 verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You see that? Our uniting with Christ brings about that death to sin. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit in you is life because of righteousness. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. If I don't have the resurrection life of Christ living in me, what am I? I am what? Lost. I'm lost. Then Romans 6 teaches I can't have resurrection life if I'm not identified in His death. And I get identified in His death by baptism. So it's, as we cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, it's all beginning to make sense. Okay, so Christ's second baptism was His baptism into death. And the Holy Spirit baptizes me also into that death. And I'm included in His death, which means if I'm included in His death and burial, then that means I also get newness of life. See? So I've got resurrection life. If I'm not baptized into His death by God's Spirit, I'm none of His. You just can't have it. One last point. This baptism into His death is done in response to your faith in Christ. Now, we've learned that God the Holy Spirit is the baptizer, 1 Corinthians 12:13. He baptizes us into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3. This baptism unites me with Christ in His death. It unites me with Him in His burial. It imparts unto me His resurrection life, Romans 6. Now, what is it that sets this glorious baptism by God's Holy Spirit into motion? What is it that causes the Holy Spirit to take me and baptize me into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ? What is it that sets all that in motion? Is it when I join the church? Is it when I'm baptized in water? That means I've been lost for 6 months after I got saved. That's right, I would have been lost. Because it was at least, I don't remember, at least 6 months or so. And I didn't get the whole thing. I didn't understand it. Nobody explained it to me. What a shame that churches are so eager to dunk people, they don't explain to them the true, most important baptism. And that's the baptism you get when you get saved by God's Spirit. And you got church members who are ignorant of that. And that's why, over and over and over again, when I'm witnessing, and I tell people, and I ask people, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? One of the most common responses is, I got baptized when I was 8. Or I got baptized when I was a baby. Oh, yeah, I got baptized, you know, when I was a little baby. And what a shame. There's a lot of Christians, because it hadn't been explained to them, they get baptized in water and they really think that's part of their salvation. They really believe, they think, they just, because it's never explained, they're ignorant of the true Holy Spirit baptism that took place when they got saved and put them into spiritual union, made them complete in Christ the moment they got saved. They're ignorant of it. I mean, what sets it into motion for the Holy Spirit to baptize me into Christ? Is it when I perform a religious ritual or a ceremony? Is it when I do enough good works to earn it? How about when the preacher shakes my hand? Now, what does Paul teach the church? What does Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, teach? What does he teach sets it in motion? What does he teach the body of Christ? In your handout, get this statement. God's Holy Spirit enters into our heart and brings God's life in response to one thing, and that's our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And anybody who tries to tell you different, they're trying to get you in bondage to a religious system, and you need to run. You need to flee. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ that causes the Holy Spirit to come. Go to Ephesians real quick, chapter 1. I've got a whole list of references to prove this in your handout, that it's faith alone that brings about this Holy Spirit inside of us, baptizing us into union with Jesus Christ. And I got a whole slew of references in your handout, but I want to just show you one here. Look at Ephesians 1 for time's sake. I'm just going to go to Ephesians 1, verse 12. Paul writes to the church. He says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Notice this. Who first, and what's the next three words? Trusted in Christ. Now look what happens here. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, that's my past identity. How did I get out of that past identity, and how did I get a new position in Christ? Well, he says, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened. He made us alive together with Christ. And then by what am I saved? Grace. By grace you're saved. Notice it's God's grace is the basis. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through what, church? Faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know something? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you, according to the Bible, into Christ. You came into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ the moment you trusted Him. Does that excite you tonight to know that? Yes. To know that the moment you trusted Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptized you into His death, burial, and then God the Holy Spirit came and He placed His resurrection life within you. And it all was in response to your faith in the completed and finished work of Jesus Christ. Now that's exciting. And that's Paul's gospel. He called it my gospel. That's what you learn when you study Paul's epistles. It's by grace through faith. You don't feel it. When I got saved on a Wednesday night in my brother's car, my brother led me to Christ. When I trusted Christ, did you know I did not look at my brother and go, "Woo! I just got baptized into Christ." I didn't feel the Holy Spirit do that. Do you know how you find out about it? By reading God's Word, seeing it, and believing it. You read it, you see it, and you believe it by faith. In your handout, it says there is one baptism, Paul said. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5, he said there's one baptism that places you into the one body. You're in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4. I'll show you real quick. He talks about the sevenfold unity of the Spirit. He's talked about these things through the book. Now he's going to summarize it. In Ephesians 4, look at verse 4. He says, there is one body. Now notice there's seven ones here. There's a sevenfold unity of the Spirit he tells us to keep back in verse 3. Look at it. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one what? Baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now the context here is the unity of the Spirit and the body of Christ. That's the context. So what baptism, I wonder, puts me into the body? Would it be water baptism that puts me into the body of Christ, or would the one baptism be spirit baptism? Yeah. It's Holy Spirit baptism, and we learn that as we study the Scriptures. Now, we have seen clearly that Paul taught the church that this baptism into Christ's death is the baptism by God's Holy Spirit. Many people have been baptized with they've been baptized with water many different times in many different churches. I've had people tell me, "Yeah, I've been baptized 3 times." And you know, when I talk to that guy, you know what I find out? He's still lost in his sins. There's people been baptized 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they're still lost in their sins. What a shame. They're trusting in an outward, external act rather than trusting in Christ. In your handout, I'll give you one final statement. A water ceremony cannot place you into Christ. It cannot unite you in His death, burial, and resurrection. The baptism that puts you into union with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the Holy Spirit baptism of 1 Corinthians 12:13. It's the one baptism of Ephesians 4:5 that Paul talks about. Because if it's not, then why in the world would Paul say, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel"? You'd have a contradiction, wouldn't you, Larry? Oh, it says in your handout, a water ceremony cannot place you into Christ and unite you in His death, burial, and resurrection. Only God's Holy Spirit can do this in response to your faith in the complete and finished work of Jesus Christ for sin. Now listen to me. What I'm going to do next week is I'm going to come back and we're going to tackle some difficult stuff in your Bible. We're going to come, and you know what we're going to look at next week? We are going to look at water baptism before Paul. Okay? We're going to look at Old Testament. Actually, Hebrews teaches there were baptisms under the Old Testament law. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, but it's there. We're going to look at it. We're going to see water baptism under John the Baptist when people came to him and he baptized with the baptism of repentance under the remission of sins. And they stood there in the river confessing their sins as they were baptized. What's that all about? You don't see that in churches today. People who think John the Baptist baptism is the same as today, well, okay, then do it that way. Have everybody stand up in church and confess all their sins up in church in front of everybody. Because that's exactly what they did under John's baptism. See, we get kooky things in our mind. You know, we're going to explain baptism under Peter. We're going to go to some difficult passages like Mark 16. He said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We're going to look at that. We're going to look at why Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says to Israel, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and then you're going to receive the Holy Spirit." What's that all about? Well, you know, it's very clear, and it's not going to be hard to understand when we understand the right division. Paul said that we have to rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't, end up so confused. You end up trying to throw stuff in a box, and it doesn't fit. And you end up trying to put everything in one little box so that it lines up with our denominational doctrine, and you end up with a confused mess. So we're going to let the Scriptures say what they say, mean what they say, and we're going to look at them in context and see what they're talking about. Okay? Then we're going to come back and we're going to look at water baptism after Paul. And we're going to see some things that change a little bit. We're going to see some big time changes and shifts. So we're going to look at some of this in the next few weeks. I think it'll be very, very helpful to you. Okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And with our heads